Dear Dharma friends, we have come to the Kalalgoda English Medium retreat. So today is a one-day retreat actually. So now we hope to start the question and answer session. We'll start with the written questions.
We've received 5 reports.
Right.
Number 1, walking meditation. Stood on the path, started walking, walked 2 to 3 times to adjust the body. When walking on the sand path, felt the roughness. Walking on the tile, felt the smoothness as well as some areas were cold. When keeping 1 foot, the entire body's weight holds on that foot and letting go the other foot forward. When both the feet on the ground, the body doesn't move after walking for some time. There's like a current started coming up from the feet. It come up until the hip area. Kept watching it and later body felt so light and it just pushed forward. Walking happened without any control. Walked for about 45 to 50 minutes. Mindful sitting. After walking, sat on a cushion. Observed the body. The entire body was so light and relaxed. Felt the breath moving up and down. Thoughts came. Heard the background sounds. Whenever entangled in a thought and realized the body, the sounds of the surroundings heard very clearly. It happened 2 to 3 times. While watching the breath, suddenly realized that there's no boundary as such of it, as well as the body. The body is there. The breath is happening, but only the awareness of everything. Once the sanya started popping up, as in front of a mirror, they just come and disappear. It was very peaceful. Kind advice, Swami Mahansa, for further development. May the Triple Gem bless you and all the yogis. Much merit, sir.
May I know who has written the question? Yes, okay. So you are Chankami, right? Right, good. Okay, I just want to see, how long practice and he's a known one, then I can have I have some idea about the history of the practice. Now I can actually directly give you the answer. So basically when we are coming to the meditation after some time, so we reach this kind of a state where no much events happening and mind relaxes. And whenever thoughts are arising, so we can simply notice them and let them go. So mind remains calm, quiet and peaceful without any kind of defilements. So that is how slowly it's growing. How long are you able to maintain this kind of a state? How long are you able to maintain?
It means, Swami Mahansa, how long I have been doing this? Or like,
No. How long are you able to maintain this kind of clarity of mind?
I can maintain like for about 1 hour. Sometimes it goes until 1.5 hours.
Right. So this is the sitting practice.
Yes, Swami.
So are you going to a deep concentration state?
Sometimes it happens.
Right. For how long now, when have you started to begin this?
This started closer to 2 months now, Swami Mahansa. Yes.
2 months. Was it started with a short period and now it has grown?
It has grown.
1 hour, more than 1 hour?
Yes.
Right. Have you tried that you can take this in the walking as well?
Walking also, sometimes it happens. And even during my day-to-day activities, also, Swami Mahansa, it happens so many times when I do my yoga.
Right.
Just after yoga, it happens, Swami Mahansa. So, when I go to Savasana and all, it automatically happens to me.
Right. So, that should be. So, basically, this is the very much the home nature of the mind where, there are no disturbances, mind is relaxed, and you have kind of a just relaxed awareness, effortless mindfulness. So this is the nature of the mind. So this is what Buddha mentioned, pabassaram idam bhikkave cittam. So the mind originally has this very peaceful nature. But due to our latent tendencies and due to various defilements, so we get disturbed. So Buddha's teaching help us to reach back to this home nature or the original nature. And now you need to see why I can't maintain it. So because if we have this kind of ability in ourselves, now you understood it is available. Its potential is there. So you can simply maintain this pure state of mind. But why can't you have it forever? Why? What do you think?
Because of my attachment, Swami Nuhansa.
Attachment represent craving. So many other defilements. So those defilements now we have to see clearly. So now we are using this clear base of mind as a kind of a reference. Before we understand the, say, undefiled state of mind, unpolluted state of mind, before we understand a polluted state of mind, we need to have some kind of a reference to an unpolluted state of mind, kind of a very pure, calm, peaceful, undeluded, unattached kind of a state of mind. Now you found that. So this is the kind of very relaxed. I mean, we didn't even thought this kind of a simplicity. Utterly simple. Utter simplicity is there. So no boundaries, so no any bonds, no attachments. So it's a kind of a just awareness, pure awareness. Now while being there, allow mind to play a little. Don't just stay in a concentrated state now. So therefore you can reduce your sitting for a while now. Say if you can spend 1 hour, more than enough. So don't go more than that. And slowly even reduce that. And improve walking. Just while walking also don't look at the sensations now, or don't go to any other, say, feelings, etc. Rather just see how, whether you can maintain this relaxed state of mind. Because this is what now we need to maximize. So we have found a very relaxed, calm, unconditioned or unbound state of mind. And now it's a matter of enhancing it, making it available everywhere. So if you can, say, use it. Now, have you had any kind of experience that you can have it while doing another activity? Available. Right. So, I mean, time to time, we reach that kind of a very relaxed state of mind, even while we engage with different activities. So that is where we understand, okay, this is available. This is something which is available. You don't need to make it. Rather, what you need to do is to remove all these unnecessary parts. Those are what you call the intruders or the strangers to the mind. So once you remove it, so naturally what we have is this kind of a pure state of mind. Now you are using it as a reference to recognize various defilements and allow defilements to come, and you simply watch them without promoting them and without getting deluded by them and allow them to go. Now the progress happened with that, not by just resting on that in a kind of a deep concentrated state. Rather allow the concentrated state to break through the defilements if they are present, and allow the mind to play a little. So, and then you can understand, okay, still certain tendencies are available in the mind. Maybe the restlessness available, maybe the, say, jealousy available, attractions available, craving available, attachments available, as you said, anger available, lust available, many things may be available, and let them pop up, let them come to the surface of the mind, and you are clearly noticing them, and you are not being deluded by them, and you are not telling them, this is mine, I am a bad person, or this and that, no need. So you are watching them. This is a kind of a habitual tendency available in the mind. Now it's a matter of recognizing it and let it go. More and more, so you are maintaining a mind very relaxed and unattached, and there is no any kind of a boundary. Kind of it's a pervaded kind of awareness, natural awareness. Try to maintain that as much as possible now.
Yeah, I can. I have understood that. I have so much jealousy, Swami Nuhansa, that I have understood. And sometimes, like, I see, like, my craving for food and all.
Have become fat, yes. Good that you understood it. Right. So actually, it's a matter of understanding. So we have, all of us have different shortcomings. So we have to really well grounded. We have to be really humble to understand our own shortcomings. So now this state of mind, which is more relaxed and pure, help us to understand those defilements. So, I mean, we honestly have to understand those defilements. Actually, Buddha may not come and point out, okay, you have this, remove it. No, we have to recognize them. Now, in order to recognize our own defilements, how much humility, how much humbleness has to be available with us. No, I mean, otherwise we simply point out another person, he is the wrong person. I mean, because of him I am suffering, because of him I am being jealous, or whatever it is. Rather than finding our own shortcoming, we may find fault with another person. But now, here we have to be really humble, well-rounded, understand our own shortcomings. The shortcomings available in the mind, taken from long time actually. Not even within this life, I mean, it has come from many eons. So, we have to clearly recognize those shortcomings, and rather than feeding them now, strengthening them, let them go. So, therefore Buddha very beautifully mentioned, Lobo bhikkave na kāyena pahātabbo na vācāya paññāya disvādisvā pahātabba. Then, doso bhikkave na kāyena pahātabbo na vācāya paññāya disvādisvā pahātabba. Moho bhikkave na kāyena pahātabbo na vācāya paññāya disvādisvā pahātabba. So, Buddha mentioned in one sutta called Kāya Sutta, there are amongst this loba, greed, then dosa, hatred, delusion. So these cannot simply remove by, you say, you are cutting a fingernail and removing. You can't do like that. Or you can't simply using the words and remove them. But you have to look at through wisdom, how they are available in the mind, how they are coming to the surface. Panyaya diswa, diswa. Again and again, again and again you have to look at them. Then pahatabba, let it go. Allow them to go. Not without feeding them. Now keep the mind free from proliferation. So, I mean, proliferation is the culprit which is more contributing to the growth of these defilements. Because suppose we get a jealousy. So, when jealousy arises, we are adding, we are constructing on top of that to many other different ways and we promote it. So, that is how we, so far we were doing. Now, we recognize jealousy as jealousy and we are not constructing on top of it. And so, the jealousy may come and go. So jealousy is not a permanent thing. It is not mine. It is due to various reasons jealousy may arise and you are looking at it objectively, not feeding it, so it may come and you are watching it and it will fade away. So likewise we have to do.
Report number 2, experiences. Theruvan Charanai, most venerable Swami Vahansa. Thanks to Swami Vahansa, I got clear answers and clarifications before COVID period, so I was able to continue my practice. Now, can maintain sati up to some extent during day-to-day work, but not when I am talking to somebody. I experience this no-thought zone even when I am not meditating. Sometimes I experience this passing away thoughts so fast, just like caught to very fast moving wind. Can't recognize anything. Next day, a lull period. I noticed I lost my interest when see friends, not like earlier. So is this the way to continue meditation? I listen to Sunday Deshana and guess this is the way. Theruvan Saranai.
Yeah, same thing like mentioned to Chankami previously. It's very much the same. So most of us will reach this. And this is something available as human beings. So that is why Buddha encouraged Pabassara midam bhikkave chittam tanchako agantukehu pakkilesehu pakkirittam. So amongst this, the original nature, the say pure nature of the mind is quite luminous. Luminous does not mean that it's kind of radiating different colors or something like that. Rather, it's luminous in the sense, I mean, it's transparent. There is nothing there. So all whatever the things, conditions, thoughts, feelings, perceptions are very much like conditioned phenomena. Due to various causes and conditions, they temporarily come to the mind. But they are not the real mind. So they are the visitors to the mind. So what we usually do, we invite visitors and we offer tea, offer cakes and this and that, and now they become our house members. Now they are available. So then I'm quickly getting angry, I'm quickly getting lustful, quickly getting jealousy and all sort of things, because I'm closely associating them. I'm making them befriend with them. But now, this practice helps us to recognize them as they are, as they truly are. And now we are not promoting them, we are not having any befriending with them. We're looking at them objectively. And so as a result of that, so they can't find a footing in our mind. So they are visitors, they are merely visitors now. And we don't need to really even too much worry about, because they go. They have the nature to pass away. So that's something that we can have some confidence. Because sometimes actually more we see defilements. The last year also I had lust. Last month also I had lust. Even now I have still lust. Getting discouraged sometimes. You see, we were practicing. It's not that we are not practicing. Still practicing. But still lust is available. Still anger is available. Still jealousy is available. Sometimes get discouraged. So just now, just before coming here, I was reading one tricycle, this daily email. So very nice simile given there. You know, there's a very huge vessels carrying lot of containers. Those are the container ships. Very huge, right? One recently that blocked that Panama or something, right? Very huge. How are you going to turn it? Now, is it possible to turn it like a motorboat? Because say when it's a motorboat, then you can take a very sharp turn and turn back, take a U-turn. How this huge vessel, container vessel, how is it going to have a turn? Huh? No. Yeah, that rudder, no? What is that called? Rudder. So, rudder. The rudder has this maybe 1 degree, 2 degree change. Just a 2 degrees change only. That change slowly on the long run, taking a very long U-turn. Ultimately one day, it may not take a day even, by the way, but very slight change. With that slight change, it will slowly take the U-turn and maybe after some time, 180 degrees change. Same thing here. So the contribution that we are making by simply watching the defilement to arise and watching it objectively, not promoting it, not getting deluded by it, allowing it to slowly fade away, that 2 degree contribution that we are doing, ultimately helping to slowly remove these defilements. So therefore, it is utterly slow. Vasijata Sutra. So that's the simile that Buddha is giving. So available in Vasijata Sutra, the simile is using an axe, handle of an axe. So there is a person whose occupation is to cut trees using an axe, and he is using a kind of a wooden handle using which he is holding the axe. So when is it, can you measure how much of this handle being worn out because of a daily cutting of trees? Can't measure, or almost unnoticeable. But one day he will understand, I can't use this axe anymore. I have to fix a new handle to it. Same way Buddha mentioned, so these defilements, asavas, are slowly removing, slowly diminishing, eradicating. But one day you will notice it is not available now. It's not bothering me. They are not active at all now. So daily practice can't give any kind of considerable measurement telling, okay, because of today's practice I have reduced this much, you can't measure like that. But because of the continuous practice, Buddha mentioned, it is reducing. You will notice it. You will really understand it is not available now. And Venerable Ananda mentioned very beautifully, it is very much like a person who is not available, who doesn't have a hand, a limb. Does he need to always remember that I don't have a limb, I don't have a limb? No, right? I mean, when he wants, he can simply see. I mean, either you look at it, not available. So that much clarity is available, Venerable Ananda is mentioning. So when defilements or when the asavas are not available, you have that much of clarity. You can see, I mean, how a kind of a vast difference. I mean, during the reducing period, you can't even notice the amount what we have daily reduced. But once it has completely uprooted, very much evident, like the hand is cut off. Even to that level, it is very quite evident. So therefore, we have to have some trust in the Buddha's teaching and his disciples, having some confidence that I am in the correct path. One day this will remove. Maybe you can have some comparative understanding, okay, before 6 months. How much anger I was experiencing. Before 6 months, how much lustful I was. How much impulsive I was reacting to various situations. How is the situation now? Am I in a better position now? Do I have less lust or do I have less anger? Less jealousy? So likewise, comparatively, maybe 6 months is a considerable period of time, can do a kind of a rough comparative analysis and see, yes, there's a slight removal, yes. With that have to grow, with that have to continue. Yeah.
Report number 3, Most Venerable Bhante. First of all, let me pay my respect and gratitude to you for commencing the Kalalguda retreat. I am explaining my experiences prior to COVID, during COVID and present. Before COVID,
beginning, middle and end.
Before COVID, watching the breath. I used to do 2 sittings in morning and night. During the day, a short session in the afternoon. I used to sit for 1 hour or more and be in the no thought, calm, blank state for some time, and at times, if a thought arises, was watching it knowingly that it is a thought. During COVID and at present, can do only 1 sitting in the morning for about half an hour to 45 minutes. When I watch the breath, it gets slowly settles, but from the beginning, continuous thoughts are distracting me, which I have to remind myself that now I am here sitting and watching the breath. When I realize that I am on a thought process, I come back to breath. Like this entire sitting, breath settles in, I go to thought and get caught in it and realize I am thinking and coming back to breath. However, during this time, I feel my stomach movements rising and falling very well, though I practice breath meditation. My body is calm and no feelings of the body during the entire session. Please guide me as I feel that I have fallen into a cycle that rotates on thoughts. All these are day-to-day thoughts and not past or future. May you gain wisdom, good health and courage to achieve all your Dharma desires.
Yeah. I mean, if you know that thoughts are as thoughts, say those are, say, mundane, daily routine related thoughts, so that is also a good thing because you are not really deluded by them, you are not thinking that those are mine and this I am. But rather you know these are thoughts and they are telling me this and that, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Some daily activities are available in the diary, diary of your mind, I'm telling you. But if you can recognize them as thought, so that is also a good understanding. So typically what happens is we are driven by these thoughts. So we don't even understand them as thoughts, rather we are pulled by them, we are being slave to them and we are driven by them. But now if you can look at them as thoughts, and if you understand, okay, certain things are not necessary. Okay, this activity, no need. Another activity, no need. Okay, this, oh, maybe. So likewise, if you can do some selection, then you are not considering each thought as something that you are compulsory to act, as you are responsible. Then actually you get a kind of an insight. So they are merely thoughts arising due to causes and conditions. If necessary, I can act upon them. Otherwise, I can neglect them. I can ignore them. So now, you are more and more, you are having proper perspective to different thoughts. They are merely thoughts. So that understanding grows now. They are thought. I don't need to consider them, or I need to consider them. I can select them. I can either neglect them. So the control is in your hand now. So if you are continuing like that, so then later, suppose now you go to the sitting. Now remember, sitting practice is a place you are recognizing thoughts as thoughts. Whatever the activities that mind is proposing, you have to ignore or postpone for the moment. Say there are various future activities lined up and mind is telling you do this, do that, do this, do that, etc. But right now you simply have to postpone. Now assume that different thoughts are arising, you are watching it, it's a thought related to the future, I am postponing it, gone. Another thought is another something proposal, I am not doing it, I am sitting now, neglect it, gone. Just do like that. So now slowly you are back in the Chittanupassana, so there is a possibility that you may get a more insightful understanding using this kind of a practice. So you can therefore switch to understanding thoughts, because now you have somewhat some clarity about different thoughts. Now you can further improve it, recognize thoughts as thoughts, not to being carried away by them, watch them objectively and slowly let them go. Then you may get more clarity in the mind, and there may be a possibility even that you may experience freedom from thoughts. So if you can experience, that is also another achievement, another insight that you may gain. So therefore, don't think that this is a kind of a sort of stagnation or just being in the same state. Rather, thoughts are there, but they are merely thoughts. You can watch them. You have the ability to clearly understand them as thoughts, not to get carried away by them. So start operating with them. So just now start with that. So therefore, don't look at them negatively, but rather now start doing it. So welcome it and use them as raw material for your practice. Yeah.
Question number 4, Venerable Bhante. Could you kindly briefly explain Namarupa Paricheda Jnanaya, Pachaya Parigraha Jnanaya, Teruvan Saranai?
Okay. Namarupa Paricheda Jnana. Now, it's a very early stage of Vipassana where, say, you can distinguish instead as a person, instead as me, mine. So you are able to distinguish there are certain materialistic process or materialistic aspects, and there's another kind of cognitive or understanding or mental type of aspects. That's it. So how are you going to do it? Suppose in very simple terms, assume that you are doing walking meditation. Now while doing walking, at the beginning you do left, right. So those are not the very primitive level. I mean, you are simply trying to establish mindfulness because mind has so many distractions. So you are trying to remove those distractions and try to concentrate. And assume that you are reaching a state. Now you don't need left, right. You don't need lifting, moving. Now you can maintain a very quiet mind. But you can recognize different sensations. Now roughness, hardness, softness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness, coolness, heat. So these are very primitive rupa, material, mahabhuta rupa, what we call as element characteristics. And how are you knowing them? Who is the one knowing these qualities? Who recognize this roughness? Who recognize this heat? Who recognize this heaviness or lightness? What is that? That is the nama, that is the mental process. So you have some materialistic matter, or matter basically. So those are the matter, the characteristics of matter. Hardness, softness, smoothness, flowing, cohesion, say moving, heatened, etc. So all are the characteristics of the matter. So in order to understand the elements characteristics or the characteristics of this matter, we have some kind of a skill, some kind of an ability. So that is mental. Other than these two, what is available? What else is available? Sorry? Consciousness. Nothing other than that. So that is a very kind of a very early understanding. So you are, because we started our practice as I am walking, I am so and so, I am walking, I am at Kalalgoda. So after a long time I came to Kalalgoda. So all these fantastic ideas are available with all identifications. And I am practicing walking meditation. So this is how we start. But later, as we properly establish mindfulness, and as we properly start to recognize these element characteristics, then we reach the stage. So element characteristics is only available. There is no me. This is not my body. I am walking. I am at Kalalgoda. So all these conventional things drop. No value. Now you only notice hardness. Because assume that you are walking in a rough floor. So you are continuously experiencing hardness. When you are lifting your leg, so you feel some heaviness, then maybe lightness. So different characteristics are available. So who is the person knowing these characteristics? So there is no person, there is a skill or there is a process, mental process available to know distinctly different these element characteristics. So therefore we mention, so other than this mental process and the material process or the characteristics of the matter, nothing else. So this is where we distinguish these two. Previously we have I, previously we have a person, I am a man, I am a woman, I am so and so, I am a Sinhalese, I am a Buddhist. All different notions were with us, but now everything gone. Now we have mind and matter. We have a mental process and then we have a material process. That's all. So if you come to this kind of an understanding, so then we say, okay, you have come to the nama rupa paricheda jnana. And assume that you are continuing with this practice. Now, probably you may understand what are the real causes to arise these different material properties. And probably, so later you, rather than being in the, matter, so you may even understand, okay, there are different feelings. Walking happens, but most of the feelings are equanimous. How these equanimous feelings are happening? So, okay, my left, I mean, rather than telling my, I'm just telling that word my just to explain. So the foot is over the ground, no much feeling. But when it is touching, there's a feeling. The contact causes feeling. So there is no contact, now contact, there's a feeling. Immediately the contact happens, I get a feeling. What is this? This causes that. So there's a contact. Contact causes feeling. Contact causes feeling. Vedana paccaya. Sorry, pasapaccaya vedana. So likewise, I mean, with very slight such kind of events, you can recognize this causality, the conditioned nature. So all these cognition, all these different feelings and perceptions or different thoughts have different causes underneath. So if you are able to understand those causes, then we say, okay, this is not someone has created. Feeling is not something that someone has created. It is not a godly creation. But rather, when the contact happens, the feeling happens. The contact happens, then the feeling happens. If you suppose now this feeling little, hot. Now the contact causes contact has some properties which is producing such kind of a feeling. So the contact is the one determining what type of feeling is going to produce. So assume that you are touching a kind of a, say, hot, something burning. So then you feel burned. I mean, you feel a painful feeling. So the contact is producing such kind of a, it has the potential to prepare that kind of a feeling. So therefore, so if the contact is such that which has the ability to produce painful feeling, then it produces painful feeling. If the contact is such that it has the qualities, properties to produce a pleasurable feeling, then it will produce pleasurable feeling. If the contact is such that which is has the properties, qualities to produce an equanimous feeling, then it produces equanimous feeling. So this causes that. Contact causes feeling. So likewise, if you are continuing your practice, then you will understand, okay, there's a causality. It is not that I make it. It is not that some external factor, external entity, external person make it. But causes are there. When the causes are available, obviously the condition happen or the result happen. So this we call as Pachche Parigraha Jnana. So the understanding of the causality. So more you go deeper, once you reach say Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana, then you go to the mental aspects as well. So I have used a very easy nod to explain you. But more you practice Chittanupassana, then you come to the earlier levels, how say a feeling causes craving. Or how different this sense bases produce different contact, and how different name and form, kind of a mental image, promoting kind of a physical action, that is the salayatana, activation of some say eyes, ears, nose, etc. And likewise, how name and form has a relationship with the consciousness. Those are actually very deep and very subtle aspects of the causality. But what a yogi easily may understand is that what I have explained, that contact causes feeling, is a very easy link that we can practically understand. But it has a very deep understanding, so you can apply it for almost everywhere. Conditions are there, causes are there, that produces results. There is no creation, there is no any external god or someone making them, but there are causes and conditions happening throughout. So that understanding is called Pachche Parigraha Jnana. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can use the mic.
Bhante, sorry to have disturbed you, but this is in...
Yeah, this mic is little... sound is reduced, nothing to worry. I mean, just continue. I think it will be recorded. I don't know.
All right. Bhante, that is not my question, but then right. Again...
Vishara, can you little increase the volume and see?
Now I suppose it's... Yeah. Now I suppose it's
okay,
all right?
Yeah, now
right.
You can speak.
All right. That's not my question, but I have a question regarding the first one.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bhante, now we can... very well understand the nama and rupa differentiation intellectually and but
practically.
Not practically.
Practically, theoretical understanding is not enough.
Yeah, that's it. Practically also understand, but it does not get established in the mind. It again and again the self
comes.
I think that is due to the samsaric practice.
Yeah. So thing is, I feel that when we are experiencing that kind of a thing at the beginning, it gives a kind of a remarkable awakening in us.
Yes.
But later, as we continue for many years, again that all stuff
that's it.
Can come to the mind, yeah. Forgetting this insight. Okay, telling again that I am here, I am Rani Rajapaksha, why not? Like
yeah.
Us, say, so the... all notions, all our say thinking patterns can come back. So again and again, therefore we need to practice and strengthen those insights. So insights are not yet well
Established.
Established. And yes. Again, I mean, it is not the same insight that is always needed, but there are very other insights as well. Say, understanding the impermanent nature, understanding the suffering nature, understand the non-self nature. So those are also further strengthening. So it's a collection of insights working in coordination.
Mm.
So different times, different insights are helping us to penetrate the delusion.
Yes.
So therefore, we don't need to say that I didn't really have the nama rupa paricheda jnana, so no point of going there. I should first develop this to the full extent. No need.
Mm.
I mean, you can continue your practice. So
yeah.
Time to time, I mean, they typically, theoretically say there's a gradual development of insights. There may be, but there are other possibilities. Okay, you get different insights at different places.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
say,
that's
while
true.
You are practicing, so sometimes probably you get nama rupa paricchita jnana. Then you get paccaya parigraha jnana. Maybe you get understanding, okay, arising and passing away, udayabhaya. So likewise, different things. And after a while, again, you probably get paccaya
parigraha. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, paccaya.
So these insights, therefore, we can't say they always happen linearly.
They never
happen the other way, opposite way. So we don't need to think that way. Because, you know, that linear relationship is only mentioned in the...
Textbooks.
Sorry?
Textbooks.
No, not
as Mahathera says.
Even in the books, in the Buddha's teaching, there is that Ratavinita Sutta,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is was the source for path of purification, Visuddhi Magga. So that is the linear relationship. It is emphasized, but not that is not the only method.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other methods available, and therefore now even the Satipatthana. So you can't really say it's the only... Say all these insights, all seven purifications have the real linear relationship in the Satipatthana. You can't say like that.
Yes, that is
so
true.
Different insights are available at different places of Satipatthana. It's very difficult to predict. You can have some rough idea. We can say, okay, this is the way it is going to happen. But we don't need to really restrict things happening, but let them happen. So it's our duties simply to continue in our practice and let the insights arise time to time as the proper conditions are available.
What you explain is quite interesting, Bhante, because I specifically asked about nama rupa paricheda because I could understand and comprehend easier the second combination, that is paccaya parigraha, it is easier to understand
and get established.
Right.
Now, when you come to the suttas,
nama
rupa paricheda is not mentioned here.
Right.
So, it is something absurd actually has happened. You know, during the Buddha's time, there is no, during his early 20 years, no talk about sotapanna, no talk about sakadagami, no talk about anagami, but all the well attuned to attain arhatship.
Directly.
Okay, so later when after 20 years, then other group come into the sasana, so they are, we can say, previous part, we can say, the more cream-like. There's a beautiful term for that, nyaya padaparama, but the previous one?
Ughati Tanya.
Ughati Tanya.
Yeah.
So the earlier candidates very much like Ughati Tanya.
Yeah.
So it's a very short discourse. So they achieve it to the best.
Mm.
Arhanship. Then later the other group requires certain amount of gratification. Those are the Vipati Tanya.
Yeah.
Then the other group, Neya.
Neya.
So they require more practice, more explanation. And even not the arhatship, maybe lower stages. So then Buddha explained, okay, that something called anagami available, something called once return available, something called sotapanna available, sabdhanusari, dhammanusari. So likewise, more lower stages are available. And earlier suttas only talk about arhatship, not even the insight knowledge, very much about insight knowledge. Mm. When it comes to other suttas, okay, they talk about Dibbidha Jnana, Udayabhaya Jnana, Pachche Parigaha also talk as Dhammattiti Jnana.
Ah, I see.
So, likewise. But, so that is the Buddha's time. Now later, say after 100 years, now other some more details start to appear. That with say 9 insight knowledges, 10 insight knowledges, then say 16 insight knowledges. So that is more recently very much like, recent in the sense with the Visuddhi Magga, they start to talk 16 insight knowledges. That is where the Pachche Parigaha, sorry, the Namarupa Parichchidi Jnana is available.
Comes in.
So therefore, we need to understand on the other way, human beings' mind is becoming more and more complex. So complex mind requires more complicated theories and this and that. So they are not really practicing, they want to analyze. They want to have all different thoughts, different logics, and they are putting it into the very beautiful tables and analyzing and comparing and this and that. I have this 52, I have this 89, I have this 181. It's all tables.
Intellectual studies.
Intellectual studies are there.
Yeah.
But less practice.
Mm.
But the Buddha's time is more, they are more interested about the practice. Therefore, less information in a way, less analysis, but more cream-like. They quickly want to get enlightened.
Like Parayanavagda?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So therefore, so it's a kind of a decline of the human nature.
Yeah, that is true.
Even though we consider as a kind of an improvement, it's really the decline actually.
Mm.
So people are getting more defiled, our mind getting more complicated. So we are interested more in the intellectual understanding rather than internalizing the teachings. So therefore it is going to more and more complicated theories, and as I mentioned, during the early stages of the Buddhism, it has very, very few say attainments, we can say. Later broaden to 4, then even go to say 8 something, then even go to even the Sotapanna, you can stay another 3 levels, say Eka Biji, Kolankola,
Sattu Parama.
So likewise, more many divisions are available. And even comes to the later, then 9 inside knowledges, 10 inside knowledges, 16 inside knowledges, so many things.
Yeah.
More complications.
That is
so true. I mean, so if we think that we have to go through each and every step, I have to understand all 28 rupas, I have to understand all 52 chetasikas, I have to understand all 89 chittas. Not necessary.
All right, sir.
Because, I mean, Buddha very clearly mentioned to Malunke Putta that when there are things, suppose there are forms, if you haven't seen a particular form and you are currently not seeing a particular form, and you have no desire to look at that particular form, and you are not getting a chance to look at that particular form, is there a possibility of arising a defilement because of that form? Can't.
Yeah, that is true.
That's the point. So therefore, sometimes people get misunderstand that I have to know everything. So Abhidhamma explains so many explanations, so many divisions, so many details, I should know everything. So that is against the say Malunke Putta Sutta, that very clearly mentioned by this Mahasi Sayadaw in his book Vipassana Nayappakarana. Yeah, he pointed out this point in the what Buddha explained to Malunke Putta, that you don't need to worry about the things that you haven't experienced and you are not going to experience, you are not wishing to experience. So it's a matter of doing in the present moment. So what you experience right now, so you might have experienced in the past something, probably you might be reminding it right now, then it's a present experience, it becomes a present experience. So therefore we can drill down everything to the present experience. So that is why in the Baddhekaratta Sutta Buddha explained, Atitannanvagameya nappatikanke anagatam yadatitam pahinantam appattancha anagatam. Pachuppannanjayo dhammam tatatatu vipassati. So don't worry about the past, it has gone. Don't think too much about the future, it hasn't come. Now, pachuppannanchayo dhammam tatta tatta vipassati. Now, the present phenomena arising due to causes at this very moment tatta tatta vipassana. Then and there you have to do the reflection, you have to do the contemplation, you have to see them clearly through your vipassana, I mean through your practice. So that is the emphasis, that is the cream. So if we are able to do that properly, then we don't need to worry about too much detail available in this than that books. How many books are available today? My goodness. Unbelievable. So if you think that I have to know all these theories, I have to go to this and that and all this, can never get at least understand it.
You will never be in the samsara.
Yeah, every time.
Forever.
Yeah, and again you are holding all that set of books. Where Buddha asked us to use it at a raft, now you are carrying them on our head. That's the point. So therefore even if we learn them, we need to understand, okay, I have to throw them. In order to throw it, I am learning.
Yeah,
that's true. What a kind of a dhamma Buddha is explaining, no? I mean, who is the teacher telling, my dhamma is for you to use as a raft. Don't hold it, don't carry it. Once you are going to the other shore, just throw it away. It's just a tool. Just a tool to understand the reality, and once you take the once you get the benefit, just throw it.
Yeah, Bhante, that's why the other day I told you that if Buddhism can be given in a nutshell, it should be appamada.
Appamada, letting go.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell many things. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Teruvan Saranai Swami Mahansa. Whenever I meditate outside, this feeling is there. I don't know whether it is a feeling, but as soon as I sit, I get that emptiness is there, and it's always moving away from, but there's no me actually. I don't exist there. I'm not there actually.
Yes, you can't be there.
Yeah. So the
where are you
and that time I don't know why. Actually, I felt it was very calm sensation, you know. So after some time, at once it disappears.
After some time,
I come to realize that I'm there and the emptiness. I can't find it. So that what I can't understand is, whenever I do that meditation, this happens.
Yes, it has to. I mean, if you are going properly with the vipassana practice, so this is something that we have to experience. So actually what we have is a mind-made I. It's a created I. It's a fabricated I. It's something that we have created using different, useless stuff. So, but with the practice, you remove them, and once you remove them, there is no I, but awareness is available.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, still, I am making I am Venerable Chandra. So that is where the ignorance is very deeply rooted. I mean, even though time to time we get some insight, there is no I am just awareness is there. So that's a very temporary freedom.
Temporary.
So therefore, even now, there's a very beautiful sutta called Kemaka Sutta. That Venerable Kemaka is an anagami, non-written. Even he very humbly mentioned, even though I have no notion of I to different, say, aggregates, I don't identify Rupa Khanda as I. I don't identify feeling khanda, the feelings, as I. I don't identify perceptions as I. I don't identify mental formation, sanskara, as I. I don't understand the consciousness, vijnana, as I. But still I have a notion of I.
Yeah. It comes, it disappears, but it as so, once I
feel see how deeply rooted these things.
Yeah.
So therefore, I mean, that's why further we have to continue the practice. Time to time it is good that we understand, okay, there is no I, just a kind of a very beautiful awareness is available, that's good.
Yeah.
But when I making happens, so we have to carefully recognize it and remove it.
Yeah.
When kind of idea of mind happens, then we have to understand it, remove it. So likewise, you have to slowly go.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, we can say so. Actually, Namarupa Paricheda is not the point. I feel that Ditti Visuddhi, so the kind of a wrong view. Wrong view in the sense the Sakkaya Ditti, or even the latter, even more subtle, is the Asmimana. So kind of an I is available, I making is available, mind making is available, kind of comparing with another person, mana is available. So those are very subtle defilements, deeply rooted and using for eons. And therefore, I mean, those are very subtle. And we have to carefully understand them, not to get deluded by them, and have to remove them. Remove in the sense, let them go. So likewise, we have to continue our practice for a long time. Then only we can say, okay, to some extent, there is less eye-making. Say, very, very much like, suppose, a person who is not into the practice, say he is making eye for many instants per day. Now suppose a politician. Now he has a very egotistic idea. Okay, I have to win, I have to be the person, I have to say show off my colors, and I am the one, did this, I have, so my plague is there, I am the one opened the road, this and that. So every time want to highlight himself. So eye making. Many eye makings. So that is how typically, that is how people want. So they want to highlight as a person. I am a special person, not a single person, I am a VIP. So we always want to be a special person, not a typical human being. That is not enough. So I want to be a special person. So this is eye making. So now when we are continuing the practice, so this eye making become less. So assume that previously you did it per day, assume 100 times, you strongly created a self, created the person. Now maybe you are doing it 70 times. Later maybe doing 50 times. Maybe doing 30 times. So likewise, even though you are doing it 30 times, it's maybe even diluted, not a very strong eye making. So likewise, it is happening very slowly with less eye making. And weaker eye making, not strong eye making. So likewise it is happening. And actually likewise we have to look at how we ignorantly promoting I, how different activities that we already did are trying to promote I. Now suppose you did something good in the past, say you help another person, you gave a dana to someone, and you conduct a retreat, whatever it is, you gave a nice sermon. So now I'm going back to Nisanwane. Ah, you did very nice. Everyone was really, really happy from my answer. That's eye making. So because of something good that we did, later mind is trying to make a person. So that I have to understand. Otherwise I am getting deluded. I think, okay, this there's a Venerable Chandratana coming to Kalalgoda, making a nice sermon, impressing everyone, making a self, making a person, going after reputation. How are we going to go against the grain? So this is how we are doing. I mean, we have to do this also. Then only we can understand how eye making happens, how the conceit can arise. So when it is arising, slowly we have to remove it. Very interesting.
Thank you, Swami.
Yeah.
And when we do Anapanasati,
yeah,
all Satrasatipattana is coming together. No?
Coming. Yes, together. Yes. Actually, yes. Anapanasati Sutta explains that. So you can practice Anapanasati in a way to contribute to each and every Satipattana.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Number 5, Most Venerable Bhante, could you kindly explain Salayatana Nirodha, Theruvan Saranai?
Yeah, Salayatana Nirodha is the Nibbana. So you can ask from Buddha, what is Nibbana? So Salayatana Nirodha, so you can explain it little more detailed manner. So there's a very beautiful sutta called Loka Kama Guna Sutta. So there Buddha explained to other monks, when eye ceases and the Rupa Sanya, the different signs of form fades away, then there is a kind of a sala, there's a kind of a base, kind of a sense base. When your ear ceases and the sounds, the signs of the sound, signs of the sounds fade away, there's a beginning or the reference to a sense base. When nose ceases and the smells or the signs of the smells, Gandha Sanya fades away, then there's a kind of base arising. So likewise, he is explaining all different sense faculties, they start to cease. Cease senses in the sense that they are not doing their, you know, the longer activities. Now, typically when we see through eyes, we are constructing on top of it. Say when I look at him, so he's a person, he's a male and this and that, and I am doing a lot of thinking, I can do. So I see such in the sense, just seeing, that's it. So the further activities, constructions, fabrication, storytelling, no more. Just seeing. So the more activities related to the eye has gone, only maybe even the scene is there. So the different signs I am taking to the mind, say I'm now when I am looking at him, I can take a figure of him, I can take an image of him. And even when my eyes are closed, I can create that image in my mind. So this is how we are remembering, no? So all those signs, all those memories, gone, faded away. So likewise, Buddha explains to all six faculties. So no signs available and all the sense bases have ceased. Now what is available? That is called Salayatana Nirodha. What is available is the Salayatana Nirodha, where the activities, fabrications, constructions that we do with respect to these different sense bases have stopped doing their activities, and all the images, signs, perceptions attributed or connected to those sense faculties all have gone, all faded away. Now you have a very clear mind in the sense, have to have, because no signs, no. So everything has gone, everything clear, very, very much like a blank. What you have now, Salayatana Nirodha. Very much like, exactly. So when you reach that stage, then another way Buddha explained, Ditte Dittamattam Bhavissati. So what you seen is just seen. What you hear is just hearing. What you smell, what you taste, what you experience through the body, that's it. And what you cognize through the mind, just the cognition, that's all. No more. Not going to another step. Not going to another construction. Then Buddha say, you are not there. You are not in the form. You are not in the eye. Not in between. Very beautiful teaching. How different he is explaining it. And what you have is, that is the end of suffering. And Buddha says to Venerable Bahya. Yeah, very much the same thing. Very much the same thing. Yeah.
Is it what we experience during that no zone period?
We have to say so.
Okay.
But temporarily, I mean, you can say, I mean, the complete Salayatana Nirodha, we can say the complete eradication of Raga Dosa Moha.
Okay.
But currently, what we experience is temporary absence of Raga Dosa Moha.
Okay.
Temporary absence. We can't say I'm permanently free from Raga Dosa Moha.
Only for that moment.
For that moment, I'm free. Exactly. For that moment, I'm free. I can actually appreciate that. I have to encourage that. I have to enhance that. So, Yeah.
Does that mean that the normal process stops at path?
Sorry, I can...
The normal process stops at path.
Path.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that so?
Path nirodha. Yeah, we can say so. Yes. So, path nirodha in the sense... Now, typically, Buddha mentioned in that, Majje Sutta. So, typically what happens is because of craving, we are going from contact to the contact arising. Passa and passa samudaya. So, these are the two ends that we are always associating. Neglecting the middle, that is the passa nirodha. So, salayatana nirodha equals passa nirodha in that sense. So, there is no contact. Contact in the sense, that is why there is no feeling. Feeling in the sense, we can, feeling upasama, calming
that's
down
it.
Of,
yes,
calming
yes.
down of the feelings.
Because with arhans, they don't proliferate or they don't divulge in what they feel, but it stops, the process stops there. That's what I thought.
Process stops there. No, that's, those are little, carefully we need to understand.
Yeah.
So the very pure, very, say, best form of salayatana nirodha, then we can say they are experiencing during the arhatpala samadhi. But what they experience during the day-to-day, daily matter, in the mundane time.
They are kriyasitne, that's what Swami Nama
said. That likewise we can say.
Yeah.
That we can say, okay, they simply see, that's it, they are not proliferating. They simply hear, that's it,
just that,
they are not proliferating.
Yeah.
And they know, I mean, smell and taste and all these things are there, but not proliferation.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't come to the level that eyes, ears, nose are completely ceased and no operation at all. We can't say like that. They, as she mentioned, I mean, seeing is just seen. Seeing is there, but seeing is just seen, that's all. No more. So therefore, there's a slight difference. I'm also still arguing. What might happen during the arhatpala samadhi? Then what an arahant experiences the daily activities when he is not in the arahatpala samadhi? So you have to become an arahant and tell me.
But Bhante, in one sense,
I'm also trying to understand, still didn't get a proper answer.
Bhante, in one sutta, Buddha says, කපිලවස්තුවෙන් සුළඟත් මට සැපයි. ඒ කියන්නේ ඔව් කපිලවස්තුවෙන් එන සුළඟත් මට සැපයි.
Yes, yes. That is where when Vidudaba is going to kill all Sakyans.
Yeah.
So Buddha sit in between and tell to Vidudaba.
That's it. So that means that he is somewhat, he was enjoying it.
I feel that he is explaining his humanity in a way. I mean, he's explaining his humanity. Now all his relatives going to be a massacre, kind of a complete disaster. Now he's just trying to make a little effort to stop it. Telling, I am sitting here. There is no, I mean, because Vidudaba is telling, there are very large trees here. I mean, why are you sitting under this tree? There are no leaves in this tree. Why are you sitting in this tree? Then Buddha mentioned, the wind coming from the Kapilavastu is still giving me a pleasant feeling. I feel, it's a very touchy, I mean, you see, I mean, it's an edge of the massacre. Now Buddha is trying to give a kind of a effort to stop it, can't. I feel, rather than giving him a very sophisticated sermon and you are paramatto, any of these, telling that I am feeling kind of a happiness when the wind is coming from Kapilavastu, it's kind of giving a very, I feel it's a more humanity.
Very original.
Available in the Buddha.
Original and simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Actually, as a teacher, there are immeasurable qualities in the Buddha, unbelievable qualities. I mean, sometimes talking more deeply onto the more sophisticated and philosophical things, and another time talking about not to kill, not to steal, and that kind of things. And very beautifully handling this wisdom, ethics, humility and obligations and all these things. I mean, the combination of so many aspects, not just in one aspect. So, combination of so many aspects of the society. As an individual has grown and has a wisdom and compassion and looking after various social aspects of the whole human beings.
Yes, actually, being a prince and being a king, the similes he has taken, the carpenter, the hen, how the hen lays 10 eggs and how they get hatched.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Vasijatopama Sutta itself, says about the hen.
Yeah. Okay, 215. Yes. Okay.
Bante, am I audible?
Yeah.
Bante, my question is more of a generic question.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on integrating meditation to our daily lives when we are doing our modern day-to-day living?
I didn't get the question. Can you talk louder a little?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. My question is more of a generic one.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on how we can integrate the daily meditation to our daily lifestyle? Because for those of us who are like really busy sometimes,
mm-hmm.
We tend to, do our meditation, like do a little and then stop and do a little, then stop. Mm-hmm. But Dhammajiva Hamdro calls us chameleon yogis or Hoda Hoda Madedana, he says. So my question is, how do we really integrate this so that neither the meditation nor the worldly tasks get lagged behind, so that we find the right balance in meditation and our worldly life.
Mm.
Because unlike for a monk, we find it, I don't know, personally for me, sometimes I find it a little bit difficult to make the proper balance.
Mm.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, actually, interesting question. It's a challenging question. How are we able to maintain this balance? Actually, as a monk also, has a little bit of same question. Now, don't think that I am always in a blissful state. No. So, more and more we get older, more responsibilities, more problems. And, when my phone is on, many calls, maybe from the office, maybe from another monk, maybe from Priyanka, maybe Dilhara. Many problems. How to balance my practice with these problems? Same thing. Everyone has the same kind of a thing. So what is the proportion? Actually, these questions also have to come. Then only we can see whether I can bear it. I can maintain my integrity. So now say, you are simply alone, no one to bother you, and no way to arouse your defilements. Then how do you know where you are? You can come easily go to an higher estimation, wrong estimation, overestimation. You can think, okay, I for a long time I didn't get any lustful thought. For a long time I didn't get any disturbing, any ill will thought. Probably I might be an unreturner now. Can think like no, because for a long time, for many months, I didn't get any slightest lustful thought. I didn't get any kind of an angry thought. Why? I am a non-returner now. You can get such kind of an overestimation. But daily, say when you are exposed to various things, troubles from the other people, disturbance from other sources, then are you able to bear it? Are you able to quickly come back to your peaceful state of mind? So if that is a skill, that is not easy. So that is where the practice helps, what we call as resilience. So when your mind gets disturbed, how quickly you can return back to the normalcy, return back to the, say, very peaceful state of mind. So it has to happen through your practice. So therefore, not complete deprivation from the daily activities or your office work, your homework, family work is not the solution. So, and completely attached with that and neglecting the practice is also not the solution. So how to have the balance between these two? So as lay people, time to time, of course, if you can dedicate yourself for a retreat, that is completely, at least for some time, you are away from your family and you are developing your skills, that is also needed. Then once you achieve it, are you able to maintain it for at least some period of time? It may decline, as you said, hodo made dana. I mean, it will decline. Again, you go, another retreat. So likewise, slowly, you are able to retain these skills. Not immediately. I mean, you are slowly getting the skill to retain some amount of these skills. Then you understand, okay, now I am going through some difficult situations, but still I am able to be mindful. Still I am not crying. I am not really shocked by all these incidents. My relatives are doing something, my husband, my wife, my children are going through some troubles, but I am unshaken. So likewise, the practice helps us to understand this kind of a growing. Puttassa loka dhammehi chittang yassana kampati. Asokam virajam khemam etam mangala muttamam. So if you think that life is something that because of the practice that I am not getting any problem, and the arahants may not go through any ups and downs of their life, it is not. They may go through all the difficulties as human beings, but they are unshakable. That unshakability has come through the practice. So we have to develop the practice, and we have to put ourselves into test and see through the daily activities how much practice has helped us to maintain the peacefulness of our mind. So try to have both. So introduce to your lives, say in the morning I am practicing maybe walking and then sitting. During the lunch time, if I have a lunch break, I am doing some walking and trying to observe my mind. Maybe on the way back, I am trying to be mindful. After coming back home, I am practicing. So likewise, we need to have some practice. And later, it becomes part of your life, part of your daily routine. And once it has become daily part of your routine, then very much like managing it, and now you have some amount of mindfulness, and now you can fill other areas where you don't have mindfulness. Say, when you are talking with another person, probably at the beginning you don't have mindfulness. But now, you are trying to have mindfulness even when you are talking with another person. Say you are in another activity. Previously you didn't have mindfulness, but now you are trying to be mindful even in that activity. So likewise, filling the gaps. So that is how we have to grow. So always we have to bring our practice to our daily activities. So otherwise, I mean, we are not really merging it. So both has to go on. Okay, I think we have come to the end of the session. Now it's 1.5 hours almost. So thank you very much for the interesting questions and active participation. So we'll meet again at 4 p.m. for the Dhamma sermon. Everyone, sunlight.